In the name of the living God. Amen. All right, so we are in part two of this little mini-series about covenants. Last week we talked about Noah and God's promise through the rainbow. This week we're going to talk about Abraham and Sarah. And next week we're going to talk about the covenant with Israel. So before we move into Abraham's covenant, I just want to remind you of some basics. A covenant is simply an agreement between two parties able to enter into a contract. The Old and New Testaments are also known as Old and New Covenants. And that a fundamental reality of Scripture is that God has been making and making and making and remaking promises and covenants with his people from the beginning to the end of the Bible and even now. The completion of the covenant starts with Jesus and it finishes with Jesus at the end of the age, but this story is about Abraham from a long, long time ago. So let's first look at the characters. We've got this guy named Abram who becomes Abraham. So I want to look at the little bit of the word meaning because I think it's really helpful to understand what the name change meant for him. So Abram means exalted father, or father of height, or high father, or if like me, you are a fan of mid-90s hip-hop, Big Papa. In fact, I was driving to work today, and I have a confession to make to you. I don't listen to KSBJ when I drive to work. I usually listen to 92.1 to get myself ready. So Big Papa gets changed from Abraham to Abraham, which means father of many. And this is the most, I think, the most beautiful picture I've seen to describe his name change. One author says it's like he was called a soaking rain. That the experience of this covenant would be like a soaking rain over the multitude of the nations. It would nourish the nations. And so Big Papa turned into Big Rain that would nourish his people. Now, renaming is a big thing in the Scriptures, right? Who can you think of that gets renamed? We got Saul turned into Paul, and Peter and Cephas, and all these other name changes that get bandied about. And lots of men get credit for being renamed. But that's not all. Men don't get the full playbill. The Jewish covenant community gets renamed in Hosea chapter 2. God says of his people, Lo, Ruhamah, you are not my people. I'm done with you. And Hosea says, but I, because of who I am and God, I'm going to call you Lo Ami, which means you are my people. So God, when he seems to be done with them, says, I'm going to make a promise to renew my covenant with my people. Now, a few women get renamed in Scriptures, and all of them not very good. The book of Hosea has some very derogatory names for the woman and her children that I won't go into. Esther chapter 2 is also, a.k.a., known as Hadassah. And finally, and this is your Bible quiz for the day, Naomi renames herself in the book of Ruth. She says, do not call me Naomi, call me... anybody? Crickets? Crickets? What? Forsaken. That's a good one. Bitter. Call me bitter tears. Call me Mara. M-A-R-A. Call me bitter tears for what has happened to me. But there's only one woman, as far as I can tell, who gets renamed by God, God's self. And who is that? Sarah. I mean, this is a big deal. Sarai has God speak directly to her. And all of our other major female players in Scripture, they often speak through mediators and angels. Think of Mary and who? You ought to know this one. Right, the archangel. So the archangel comes and says, behold, I bring good tidings. There's a great mercy and joy in your life. But she's not actually talking to God face to face. So this is the only woman, as far as I can tell, who gets a direct connection with the Lord who speaks to her. And so I propose to you that this covenant that Abraham always gets the credit for is a co-equal covenant between this man and this woman. Abraham and Sarah are partners in this covenant. It would do her very poor justice if we were to think that she was just the bread, the oven to bake the bread, right, in Isaac. But now the promise is lived out through her. And her name, by the way, to talk about names, Sarai means princess. But then she gets renamed to Sarah, which means princess of many. or the queen of all, even if you would go far enough, depending on how you want to play the word. But she moves from this great, wonderful lady to a wonderful lady for all the nations. She was Big Mama with Big Papa. Now, Abraham and Sarah are called to a pretty high bar. They're called into covenant. And as I talked about last week, Noah and the rainbow weren't a covenant proper. A covenant means that two parties enter into contract with one another. But for Noah, it was just a one-sided promise. He looked around, saw the mess, and said, "Noah, if you want to come along, I'll let you, but this place is messed up. And I promise, no matter what happens, no matter what the other party of the covenant does, I'm not going to destroy the world with rain." So we're moving from promises of Noah to a covenant in Abraham, but they're still sort of got their water wings on. I wouldn't call it a full covenant. I would call it more of an experience of a starting block. And I want to play with the idea of swim team. Now, some of you I know have kids on swim team, right? But you remember trying to raise your kids and how to learn how to swim? They got the water wings. God, I can't stand water wings. But now, if you're really cool and impressive, you got noodles. But if you're older, you got the water wings, right? And these water wings are like what I would call promises. It's really fun to sort of splash around in the water, and it feels really good. And when God promises to love you, it's like, oh, it's just wonderful, and splash, splash, splash. But you're actually not that effective. You're not an effective swimmer, nor are you effective for much, except just to enjoy the water. But the next step we hope our kids all get to is being able to swim a length of a pool, or at least from one short end to the other. All right, this is an issue of survival, right? If they fall in the water, you want them to be able to go from one side to the other. And I think in the same way, God in his covenants with us wants us to move us from a place where he's constantly kind of carrying us like little babies to where we can stand on our own feet and make promises to him, make covenants to him, and then to reach those out to other people. Now, this move from promise to covenant, or water wings to swimming, has a couple of realities. One is that God is not that impatient. He can wait a really long time. If you look at Abraham, the guy was 99 before Abram gets changed to Abraham, before Big Papa gets turned into soaking rain. But, as the scriptures tell us, patience should never be confused with a lack of expectation. God wants us to move from a one-sided promise, get off of our water wings, to start swimming in the deep end. Now, when you take off your water wings and start swimming, at least I can remember when I did it, now I was a terrified kid. My dad actually yell at me and scream at me to get me into the pool. Only by the terror of my father did I actually enter into the water. So I'm not the best example for this, because it took me a long time to get off my water wings. But when you finally feel the liberation of swimming on your own, there's a mixture of joy and fear. Do y'all remember that at all? It's a long time for many of us. But that joy and that fear, and when I finally got it, I put on this big old scuba mask. This is mid-70s, you got to remember. So everything was bigger back then. And so I got this big mask, and it covered my nose and my face, and it's like it was almost too big to have a suction on my face. And I got there, and my uncle had a pool, and I went straight down 11 feet, and I could feel the pressure and the weight on my body. And that same sense of, like, I've done something big, and it kind of hurts. 11 feet of water kind of makes your ears push in, right? And it makes that mask push in. And I think the moving from promise to covenant has the same kind of weight. That God wants us to move us from splashing around in our spiritual lives to taking on the weight of the covenant. When I come to church every day on Sundays, I have to wear this thing called the stole. Some people have asked me, what's that weird sort of like bib thing you wear? Well, this is called a stole. And it's when I come in, it's an expectation. You see, you can't see it probably, but there's a little cross right here. And what I'll do is I'll kiss the cross and say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I'll put it over my neck. Now, when I'm in a really good spiritual place, I make a long prayer, but usually I just stick it on. But what I'm doing is I'm putting on a yoke, Y-O-K-E. I'm putting on a yoke, and that's the thing that they put on ox's shoulders, right? So what's a yoke for? To pull, right? To dig through the dirt. To pull the plow, to prepare the land, to make it fertile for those who would feed off of that land. And that's my call of covenant. As a priest, as I put on this yoke, and I remember that I'm just a donkey who's meant to pull a plow. And that's my part of my covenant. And God calls each of us into a covenant where we can do work for His sake and get off of our water wings and start doing the Olympic crawl eventually one day. That's why I think Abraham and Sarah are such important teachers for us. See, Abraham wasn't all the way there on this covenant, but he resolved in faith, and she resolved in faith, despite her misgivings, to make the covenant with God. Now, Sarah and Abraham, they made their mistakes as they went, Ishmael being the biggest probably mistake of the whole thing. But they still moved forward into covenant. Abraham and Sarah and Noah were all sort of stumbling forward. They were stumbling in a way where they could move into a deeper relationship with God. Abraham was a soaking rain, but he certainly wasn't perfect. And Sarah might have been a princess to all people, but Lord, she wasn't perfect either. But they chose to enter into a covenant with God, and they changed the world, right? There are patriarchs and matriarchs of our faith. Had they not said yes, they might not have set the stage for the Messiah. They may not have been teaching us how to begin our journey towards God and outward into the world to grow in our covenant with Him. Amen.